This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We're back. Backstage Chicago is flipping the stage lights back on and ready to bring you fresh episodes once a month. Lights, camera, action. In this episode, we take you inside the annual Chicago International Film Festival. We talk about its impact on the city's cultural scene. We talk about films. We talk to filmmakers and how Chicago has become a platform for up-and-coming directors. So take a seat, get some popcorn, pull the curtains back, and take a listen. Before Sundance, before Toronto, there was Chicago.
The Chicago International Film Festival. Be seated, room. Proudly presents You Dream a Dream.
Recognized as the first international film festival in North America, it's been around for nearly 60 years.
Coming out of a dark theater, everything seems brighter. Film illuminates the world, opens your eyes.
It all began with Michael Kutza, who loved movies as a kid growing up on the South Side, but didn't think Chicago had enough choices on the big screen.
I knew I loved movies and all of that, and I started seeing, I love Chicago, I'm in Chicago, and there was no way to see anything, and we had like three movie theaters I could see foreign films, because, I don't know, dad's Polish, mother's Italian, and here I am. And I wanted to see more things, and all we had was the World Playhouse, the cinema, and the surf, and they would show one movie for 6 months. And when I'm making my little movies, I started entering them film festivals, and when I'm 18, 19, 20, I said, God, there's a whole world out there of stuff. And I thought, okay, we're missing too much in this town.
He credits former Sun-Times columnist Irv Kupcinet with introducing him to silent film star Colleen Moore, who, with a little assist from her celebrity friends, helped him make it happen. He held the first film festival opening night in 1965.
How could I forget if nobody came? Yes. The opening night was in November 4th. I don't forget. You know, it's remarkable at my age. I don't forget these terrible things. It was the Carnegie Theater at Rush and Oak, which is now Hugo's Frog Bar, believe it or not. Even that marquee once said Carnegie. It had 500 seats, big bit of searchlight, and it was snowing like crazy. And different press were there. And the stars of the film, a little independent film at the time, but it got a lot of publicity on television, so I thought there'll be an audience. And the stars of the film kept saying, well, we're one of the people coming. And I said, they'll be here, I'm sure. Yeah, yeah. Nobody came.
Soon enough, people did come, year after year.
Chicago International Film Festival.
So is the Chicago Film Festival.
But the Chicago International Film Festival.
The Chicago International Film Festival.
Chicago Film Festival has been the place to go for excitement.
Nearly six decades later, it's become the premier platform for new films, young directors, commercials, shorts, animated, independent, and foreign films. In recent years, The Artist, La La Land, and Marshall have been featured as opening night films, films that have later either received Oscar nominations or even won the award. Mimi Plaché is the artistic director.
We have approximately 150 films from more than 50 countries. We did look at more than 6,300 films for the festival from 112 countries. Truly international, but we're really excited about our U.S. independents as well, all of our competitions, including our short films, our animated films, a great lineup of comedies this year.
For years, it's always been a way to showcase local filmmakers to the masses.
Our city and state program has always been about like showcasing the amazing talent that is right here in our city, in our backyard, in places like Evanston. And one of the things I think that's so great about the lineup of city and state films this year is that it runs the gamut in terms of genres and styles.
Hi, good morning, everybody. How are you today? Nice to have you here.
Mercedes Kane grew up in Orland Park. She's an up-and-coming filmmaker whose documentary Breakfast at Ina's made its debut at the Chicago Film Festival back in 2015.
The other two films had been at festivals, but Breakfast at Ina's was definitely the first one I premiered at as big of a film festival as Chicago International's.
I realized that it wasn't about the first day of opening the restaurant, which everybody thinks is the most important day, but it's the last day.
I mean, that was the first one that, yeah, I think that one definitely got the most attention, and we had the premiere at Chicago International, which was amazing. I, you know, obviously Ina Pinkney is such a legend in Chicago, and, you know, it really was just so special to have her just be there with like all these people who, you know, have known her or heard of her. You know, she's been in the press a lot, so, you know, it's just like, it was incredible. But then we went on to screen at like 50 film festivals with that film, which was mind-blowing all around the country. And I'm not even joking, like every single one sold out. We got a standing ovation at every one, and it was because of her. Like she was always there and she would stand up and people would just go crazy. It was, you know, I just think they were so inspired by her story. And it was almost, I mean, it was really amazing in Chicago, but then to like bring it to other, you know, cities and states and see that reaction, that was really incredible.
This time around, Kane is bringing the story of Art and Pep, icons and activists in Chicago's gay community.
It's fun. I like pushing it.
It hit us both at the business and in our personal lives.
Nobody would help us.
By the time I turned 36, of my friends were dead.
No government support.
The folks you saw today are not people who normally beat their fists on desks and make a lot of noise. But there's great anger and frustration.
Art and Pepe would get people packed into their club, but then they would make sure that they also took political action.
Kane is founder of Daisy May Films, and she's one of the very few women filmmakers. She tells stories of ordinary people doing extraordinary things.
Yeah, you know, there's, as you know, I'm sure there's just not a lot of female directors who are recognized for their work to this day in terms of like Academy Awards and those sort of things. There's definitely a lot more funding opportunities. I'm a member of the Film Fatels, which is a nationwide organization. They have a lot of amazing opportunities. And I think there's more and more of that that you see for both women and people of color. I think like, you know, there's definitely been like a concentrated effort towards that. But, you know, I think in general, too, just getting funding and support for filmmaking, independent filmmaking is just a constant uphill. Yeah, I mean, I really think that Chicago is such a like, you know, it has such a wide range of stories. I mean, there's so many interesting people and cultures and perspectives in the city. And so it's just it gives you so much to pull from.
Back at the first festival, a documentary was featured by director William Friedkin called The People vs. Paul Crump. In modern film, though, many may know him as the one who scared folks across the nation with a little horror film called The Exorcist. Over the years, the festival has launched the careers of Martin Scorsese, Oliver Stone, and Guillermo del Toro. Chicago filmmaker Alex Thompson's film Rounding is making its Chicago Film Festival debut this year.
Am I crazy to be worried about this?
Doesn't Greenville have its own psych department to consult? It's funny, you know, seeing you here suddenly, James. It's a little scary.
Thompson says the opportunity and the platform in Chicago is not lost on him.
In the middle of the pandemic, pre-vaccine, like, let's go make a $500,000, you know, psychological thriller with a cast of 35 or 40 actors. I mean, that's... it's not something you should really do, but Chicago makes you feel kind of bold and drunk on possibilities. So this is my first film at Chicago International, and it's really exciting. Well, it's thrilling and also fills me with trepidation because I hope that folks watch it and see what we were trying to do. I hope they, you know, laugh, cry, jump, all the things that you hope for. But it's exciting. I mean, Chicago International is a real iconic festival, and it always has been. And ever since I moved here, I mean, it's not like I haven't submitted to Chicago International. I just, this is the first time they said, you know, here, let's roll out the red carpet for you. So it's exciting. I think the thing is, it is a prestigious international festival, in addition to being a festival that makes space for local voices. So it's rounding is screening alongside, you know, the newest films from my favorite filmmakers from around the world, which is really, really quite thrilling.
Meantime, the interest in filmmaking is on the rise.
While we do show kind of the directors who year after year we look forward to seeing their next kind of master work, we also have a large portion of the festival program that's dedicated to being a platform for first and second time directors, and really kind of ushering them into the film world, showcasing their work, because we think that oftentimes we find that some of the most exciting work is actually coming from these younger directors who have a bit more freedom to kind of explore contemporary topics, to experiment with form and storytelling style. And really, as they're discovering their own voices, we're discovering them with them. And, you know, I think at the festival, it's an opportunity to see a director who, you know, not this year, but next year or in 5 years or 10 years will be a household name. And, you know, at the festival, it's your opportunity to see their first work.
Over the years, everyone from Bette Davis to Jack Nicholson to Al Pacino, Dustin Hoffman, and Steven Spielberg have either been featured, honored, or were in attendance.
One has mixed feelings when you get a Lifetime Achievement Award, because, need I say more?
I feel very grateful that I'm in a business where I can live so many lives, eclectic lives, and yet come home to my wife and my 7 children and enjoy my one single most important life.
Many featured films later become awards contenders each year. Kutza says he has always had a knack for picking Oscar nominees.
When you start this in the 60s, before there was a Sundance and Toronto and all these other festivals, I was traveling so much and visiting so many countries for 6 months, I saw more films that anybody you could think of, including any Roger Ebert. There was no Roger Ebert. And I saw so much. You do develop a knack of what's really different and what's good and what catches your eye if you have superb taste like I do.
But COVID challenged the film industry recently. With the expansion of streaming services like Netflix, Hulu, and Amazon, the future of big screen patronage was uncertain.
When's the last time you went to a movie theater? It's tough to get people out. They're so spoiled with what they've got on their Netflix and their HBOs and their Disneys. And their, it is tough.
Yeah.
So I feel for what they're doing today. But there will always be a niche for this kind of foreign, I think, for this foreign.
Kane says, luckily, there are plenty of people who still love seeing new releases in the theater, and the Film Fest does that each year.
When I think about film festivals, it's such a different experience watching a film in a theater. And I think film festivals are so crucial to that, because especially these kind of films that are, you know, local and independent and that you can't just like always find so easily, you know, and you just have this really communal, beautiful experience in a theater together. And so I do think it's so important to support film festivals and to continue them.
Kutza agrees and says the future remains bright for films. He says there will always be a niche for this kind of art form, stories to tell, stories to share, to enjoy, and to escape.
From the first festival to get films, it was quite easy because everybody wanted to enter their film in Chicago, not because they'd heard about Chicago. And I was new, and I was out there looking for stuff. I said, oh, yes, we'll definitely give you Chicago, because that's where Al Capone's from, and that's where that Mayor Daley is from. And I said, okay, if that'll get you here. We're the oldest competitive international film fest in North America, yeah. But, you know, now you've got Sundance, which does an incredible job of discovering young, new directors with their institute. And you've got Toronto, which is a Hollywood offshoot. Mm-hmm. So many different kinds of fractured, splintered off festival ideas.
Yeah, yeah.
But more than ever, Chicago has a great niche, because you're not going to see this material anywhere else. You're not going to find it online. But it's got it. It's how to get you back into the seats is the biggest situation.
Thanks to Michael Kutza, Mimi Plauché, Mercedes Kane, Alex Thompson, and the Chicago International Film Fest for their contribution to this month's episode. Tune in next month for another episode of Backstage Chicago. Listen to the Odyssey app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Lisa Fielding. Thanks for listening.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.